Some of the top minds in federal, state, and local government join members of the scientific and medical community today for a one-day summit on H1N1 flu, that we, of course, all know it as swine flu. That summit was held at the National Institutes of Health there in Bethesda. Federal News Radio's Max Kakis was also there in Bethesda, and he joins us now with right here live with the latest.
Amy and Chris, this summit on the H1N1 flu virus was so important that President Obama didn't let something as simple as a trip to the G8 summit in Italy keep him from addressing participants at NIH.
We want to make sure that we are not promoting panic, but we are promoting vigilance and preparation.
President Obama speaking to the 500 or so gathered inside the Natcher Conference Center for the H1N1 summit at NIH. Dr. Tom Friedman, head of the Centers for Disease Control, says don't count on H1N1 falling off the news and sickness radar anytime soon.
What the coming year will hold, only time will tell. And it's not over. Although infection rates have declined in many parts of the U.S., outbreaks are continuing, and there have been more than 50 outbreaks in summer camps. Some communities continue to have high rates of infection. In the Southern Hemisphere, we've seen substantial disease in Argentina, Chile, Australia, reported cases from much of Asia and Africa, and in some areas, co-circulation with seasonal influenza. So different patterns of infection in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, and strain on healthcare systems in some localities.
Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius told the NIH summit that her agency is preparing to take action now to prepare the federal government, state, and local officials for the second coming of H1N1.
Tomorrow we'll announce the availability of preparedness grants worth a total of $350 million to all 56 states and territories. Congress funded these grants in the latest supplemental appropriation bills, and they'll give valuable resources to step up preparedness efforts throughout the country. $260 million will go directly to state health departments to support ongoing work and prepare for vaccination campaigns. $90 million will help hospitals prepare for the surge of patients they will treat if an outbreak impacts their community. It's critical we work closely with the medical community around the country and support their efforts to deal with a potential surge of patients in emergency rooms, clinics, and health offices due to seasonal flu combined with the H1N1 virus. Secondly, we're upgrading and expanding our website, and the website is www.flu.gov. Very tricky. www.flu.gov. The website includes guidance which will be updated on a regular basis that community leaders and the American people need to prepare for to prevent and respond to an outbreak. The guidance is informed by science and the best public health practices, and the website includes checklists and fact sheets that families and communities can use starting today to get prepared. We encourage every American to visit the site and learn how they can plan for flu season. And I would urge all of you who have websites to link to the www.flu.gov website and help drive traffic. We want to help stop the spread of the H1N1 virus. The information on the website is easy to use and helpful, but it's worthless if it's ignored. So our message to the American people is simple. Don't risk being unprepared. Visit the White website and get the information you need.
And in a very Web 2.0 move, Secretary Sebelius also said that citizens will be asked to submit their own handmade 60-second public service announcement videos to flu.gov, and the best of the PSAs will be shown not only on the web, but could also air on local and network television. So they're trying to do a little citizen participation here.
I love, this actually started, the first person to do this in government was this young man over at EPA, Jeremy Ames. Mm-hmm. And we actually had him on the show last year. Remember Jeremy Ames over at EPA with radon videos?
Yeah, you bet.
And had this wonderful contest. And the amazing thing that he found was there was this whole group that created a whole radon social networking group. Mm-hmm. So they went out and did all the stuff that he's been, you know, working to do. So it's really, I think, empowering when you sort of allow people to go out and do that. And some of the videos are just absolutely remarkably amazing.
And I think we should do a video. We should do video and submit it to flu.gov.
There you go.
You know,
I don't know anything about the flu, but
anything about video.
Well, I generally get it once a year.
I can sneeze into my collar as well as the next guy. But
speaking of sneezing, though,
yes.
Let's talk about the vaccine and the creation of one. What did they say about that?
Well, Amy, first off, Secretary Sebelius says that no decision has been made on a vaccination yet. They're still developing that. And studies with experimental doses of the new swine flu set to start early in August to see if they're safe, and then they seem to work. Mm-hmm. And if all goes well, some of the vaccine could start to roll out in mid-October. But it's very important to say that the first ones in line for the flu shots, for these flu shots.
These particular ones.
That's right. For the H1N1 would be school-aged children, young adults with risky conditions like asthma, pregnant women, and healthcare workers, because they're not going to have it for everybody right away. And like any of these flu vaccines, it takes time. There's a certain amount of time between the time they come up with the vaccine that's specific to that particular strain of flu virus, and the time that they can start making it, because there's testing. Also, the procedure for manufacture is very time-consuming. It's very lengthy.
Well, and even with the annual flu vaccine, mm-hmm. they basically about now guess what is going to be the strain of flu for next year.
Right.
And it's sort of a shot in the dark. I mean, they use Yeah, a
right.
lot of educated guess, but it's guess.
Well, and you know, something else that's kind of scary that emerged this morning in the talk with Dr. Fauci from NIH is the fact that they have a suspicion, they don't know yet, but they think there's an outside chance that the H1N1 virus could mutate and merge with the regular flu virus that would be coming along anyway later on this time of year. And so then you'd have this other virus. You'd have this you know, something that would be even more novel, as the scientists call it, than the H1N1 that's out there right now. And something to keep in mind is that while it may have gone away here in the United States and everything north of the equator, south of the equator, it's wintertime right now. And so those are exactly the kind of conditions that you need for the spread of H1N1. So you have places like Brazil and Peru where there are cases reported every day of the H1N1, which is why the World Health Organization declared a pandemic.
And there was an interesting case, because there were HHS folks who were tweeting the conference today, mm-hmm. and they actually had a... They were sharing the account so multiple people could. And I was talking to somebody at HHS and said, this is one of the first times it's been really good to get the headquarters and the various units actually working together, mm-hmm. sharing information to get information out to folks about this conference. And it's actually been building those relationships that if there's an emergency, they can then start to do what. So you can, if you want to follow their Twitter feed, it's twitter.com/flugov, FLUGOV. So
along those lines, I brought in, you know, as you know, I love to bring props on the radio,
and Amy loves it as well.
Yeah,
that's
love
right
it.
And we have these little booklets here. One of the big concerns that Secretary Sebelius has is communication, and basically getting communication out to people in a timely manner, correct communication, talking to people about schools, about the possibility of closing the schools. The Education Secretary Arne Duncan was there, and one of the hopes is that they can come up with a way to be more consistent than they were this past spring in terms of what kinds of information, what kinds of guidance you give to parents so that they can keep their kids at school and or keep them at home. And also some concern about how to keep the education process going for children if their schools are closed.
Yeah, because they closed them for like 2 weeks or something like that.
In some cases, of them, yeah. Some of them, yeah.
Like New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of concern. They're trying to get their ducks in order and prepare for preparing for the worst, because this could be big this fall.
More tomorrow?
More tomorrow on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris.